Yep, I get it.
Let's just pray. Father, I just ask that you would continue to use me, Father, how you see fit and for your will, Father. And I just ask, Lord, that you would touch everyone's hearts here today, Father, with your truth. And help us to see just a glimpse of who you are, Lord God, and how powerful prayer truly is. Lord, I ask it now in your name, Jesus Christ. Amen. If we flip to Matthew 17, looking at verse 19 to 21. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, "Why could we not cast him out?" And Jesus said unto them, "Because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Howbeit this kind goeth not out, but by prayer and fasting." When we look at the scale that God gives us here, if you put your faith on a scale with mountain today, would the mountain weigh more or would your faith? There's not a lot of faith required to do that which God asks us to do. It says here that it's a grain of a mustard seed, which is extremely, extremely small. And that grain outweighs mountains.
Amen.
I've always wondered to myself, as Pastor Harper started today with, whether I would have the faith to stand in front of a mountain. And if God said, "Richard, I want you to ask for that mountain to move," whether I would ask for that mountain to move. Or say to him, "God, no, I think you've misunderstood. I mean, we can climb the mountain. Lots of people have done that. We can walk around the mountain. Lots of people have done that. But I don't know about move a mountain. I mean, I don't have bulldozers here. I don't have dynamite. I don't have things that can blow holes through it. I don't have anything, Father, that's going to help me move this mountain." And God said, "Apparently, then, you don't believe in me." Because if we truly believed in God, we could ask a mountain to move and it would be moved. This verse actually means a lot to me because it's one of my salvation verses. Because I stand here before everyone here today and say that I was a mountain. That it took my parents and others praying for me to get moved. And I got moved into salvation with my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And that is a mountain that as Christians we should be praying for to be moved daily. Because the mountain of unbelief in our world today far exceeds Everest. And that's just in the Christian church, not even including the secular world and its unbelief.
Right. That's right.
Prayer is the cure to unbelief. God had me thinking on a very simple word. It's the word help. If we are willing to cry out help to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, it's the greatest, most humbling thing we can ever cry out to Him. Because the single word help means that you are in a state that nothing in this world can help you solve. And you're crying out help. to the one and only God, who tells you that if you have but a little faith in Him, you can move mountains. The other thing that a lot of people don't want to do is they don't want to fast. A lot of people are willing to spend a little bit of time with God in prayer on a daily basis. But to give up something of our life for a moment, to truly spend that time with God, most of us aren't willing to do. I share an example of myself. I got caught up in Blue Jays madness. I'll be the first to admit it. I love the Blue Jays. They are my team. Baseball is my sport that I love to watch. Thankfully, for the last 23 years, they hadn't made the playoffs. But then they made the playoffs, and then something started happening that I didn't like. And that even Sass kept pointing out to me. You're so concerned with the Blue Jays. Your mood depends on what the Blue Jays are doing. When they won, I was high. When they lost, I was low. I was so consumed with the Blue Jays that I started scheduling my time with God around them. I said, God, you know, most days I can give you 7 o'clock to 10 o'clock. But the Jays are in New York playing the Yankees, and there's a playoff spot on the line. So I'll give you, Lord, the half an hour before the game starts. I mean, you tell me in your word that if I have a little bit of faith, that's a little bit of faith, right? I'm giving you a half an hour. But mountains weren't being moved in my life. Unbelief was starting to rise in my life because I wasn't willing to truly fast, to give up that which is of the world, to focus entirely on Jesus. Prayer and fasting, listening to preaching of God's word, and there's no better way to listen to God's word than when He says it to us in our personal devotion when we read His word, has to be the priority in our life. Has to be the most important thing. More important than anything else. Or unbelief will just continue to consume us. Me running after the Blue Jays, as Proverbs tells us, was like a dog returning to its vomit. God, you saved me from all things. I'm free. Christians believe this. We preach it. But yet, I was the first one in the line to run back to the vomit, the burden, the weight of the world that God tells us is enmity to Him. I can't wait for someone in this room to move the next mountain because they simply believe that God can do it. Amen. I mean, can you imagine if you were Moses and you were standing at the Red Sea and God says to you, don't worry about the most powerful army in the world today coming after you. Just ask the sea to part. Just ask the sea to part. I'll be the first one to admit, if God asked me to do that most days, I'd say, I don't think I can do that. I mean, I know that the Bible says the sea can part. I believe that. But my actions don't testify to that belief. I can't help but think that God would have to have asked someone else to ask the Red Sea to part if I was Moses. But if we're willing just to trust God entirely in that moment and say to the world something that is ludicrous, something that they would classify as insane, we're going to see armies greater than Egypt fall. Because God is able. If we turn to Luke 22, this happens, I testify to me a lot. Starting in verse 31. It says, "And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. And he said unto him, Lord, I am ready to go with thee, both into prison and to death. And he said, I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before that thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me." As Christians, I'm not sure if anyone else has ever been in this situation, but we get proud of our faith.
Amen.
We get proud and think to ourselves, there's no way. There's no way that I'm going to fall. There's no way that anything can sift me from God's love. And we go on and we start walking, proud in our walk, proud with our step, moving about with that swagger. And you know what we forget to do? We forget to ask God to help us walk because we think we're capable of walking by ourselves. In those passages we read in Matthew, the disciples had been there, done that before. They had called down the power of God to cast out demons. This wasn't the first time they were asking a devil to leave somebody. They were relying upon past experience instead of relying upon God in the moment by praying and fasting and truly saying, we need more of you, Lord Jesus. Peter here didn't think anything could affect him. No, Christ, I will die for you. Don't you understand? I'm ready to go. I don't care if the world bounds me up. I don't care if they try and stop me from preaching. Wherever you go, Lord, I'm ready to go. Have we not ever done this? Peter was telling God, who just told him that he was praying for him because he was about to go through a trial and that Satan wanted to sift him. God tells us this and then we go, God, don't you realize who I am? God, don't you realize what I've done for you? Don't you realize that I pray faithfully daily? Don't you realize, God, that I'm willing to do anything for you? You think I'm going to get sifted? This can't happen. And God is saying, you need to continue to look to me.
Amen.
Because Peter was zealous. Peter was zealous for the things of God. But he was relying upon his own strength. Relying upon his own belief. Instead of relying upon God and the belief that God would give him if he simply laid everything down. There's a story of a mountain climber who climbed a mountain. And it was getting late, and he was still on the mountain. and he slipped and fell. But he was harnessed, and the harness caught him, and he was hanging there. It was dark. He couldn't see anything. He had a radio, so he was radioing in to support. He was a Christian. He was saying, I'm on a mountain. They said, where on the mountain are you? He says, I have no idea. It's dark. I can't see anything. I'm cold. I need someone to come help me. I need someone to come rescue me. They said, it's almost an impossibility that we'd ever find you on this mountain. There are so many places that you could be. He says, I know. I just don't know. I have fallen and I fell for a while and the harness caught me. I have no idea where on this mountain I am. They said, all we can do is recommend that you pray. Okay, well, I'm a Christian, so I'm going to pray. So he starts praying. You know what God told him? God said, cut the rope. Cut the rope. I'm hanging from the side of a mountain. How can I cut the rope? God, don't ask me to cut the rope. That's the only thing that's holding me. My life intact right now is this rope, this harness. Don't ask me, Lord, to cut it. Don't ask me, Lord, to cut it. And God just kept saying to him, cut the rope. The unfortunate story is that the next day they found that mountain climber hanging from the mountain. 10 feet above the ground. And underneath him was a snowbank. If he had cut the rope, he would have fallen to a snowbank and he could have walked home. But because of his unbelief and his unwillingness to truly listen to what God was saying to him, he met his demise on the side of that mountain. I'm thankful that we do have a Savior praying for us.
Amen.
I'm thankful because we have no idea how many times Satan has tried to sift us. And how many times Christ has stopped it. Prayer and fasting is the cure to the unbelief. That mountain climber had a lot of time. He wasn't going anywhere. He didn't die instantly. He had a lot of time to continue to pray to God to help him with his unbelief. But instead, he was so unwilling cut the rope to the world and just give everything over to God. Fasting is cutting the rope to this world and giving everything over to God. Prayer is cutting the rope to this world and giving everything over to God.
Amen.
If there's an inch of us that still exists, we haven't given enough to God. I want us, as faithful servants of the Most High King, to spend the time in prayer, to fast, and to truly to admit to God what we have trouble believing. There's a lot of things that I have trouble believing. When I read it in the Word, I believe it. But when God calls me to actually action it, I come up short. Because I haven't spent enough time in prayer, and I haven't spent enough time fasting. If someone came to you today and said, I have a friend. I have a friend that truly needs to be free. They have a devil inside of them. How many of us would pick up the phone and say, I know just the person to help you, and then ask somebody else to help? I'd be the first to admit, I'd probably pick up the phone and either call my dad or Pastor Harper and say, there's someone that truly needs to be set free. There's someone that truly has a problem. They have a devil inside of them. And I need you to go face it. I think both of them would go face it. But where would that leave me? Do I not serve the same God? Do I not have the same Savior? And do I not read in the Word that I can also have the ability to move mountains? That I also, in the name of Jesus Christ, can call down heaven to cast out that devil? If I truly believe, truly pray on it, and truly fast. I can't continue to hide behind other Christians when God's calling each and every one of us to the front line.
Right.
And the wonderful thing about it is, when we get to the front line, Christ is still before us. When I stand on that front line, when Egypt, when the USA, whoever it is, because as we know in the end times, there's going to be a crowd of people that stand against Jesus. And as the saints come in behind him on that front line, there Jesus is just before them. And he just speaks, and it's over.
Amen.
Let us go to the front line with prayer and fasting and stand behind our Savior instead of standing behind other Christians that are willing to go to the front line. Unbelief is a paralyzing thing. It stops us dead in our tracks. It causes us to quake in fear. And God is the cure for that unbelief if we go to Him in prayer and fasting. There's a story of a missionary. She was at a conference on salvation. She didn't know what or why she was there. She wasn't a missionary yet. She didn't believe that God could do anything for her or would have any interest in her. Because all she did for a living was sweep the floors of a factory. Day by day, she swept those floors, thinking that God didn't care about her. She didn't know how to read. She didn't know how to write. And then one day, she finds herself in a conference on salvation. And the evangelist that was preaching preached and said that God still loves you. And it hit her heart. And in that moment, she accepted the Lord and Jesus, the Lord Jesus Christ, and was set free. But she did something that most Christians don't do. She actually believed. Because what happened next in her life was, she went to Africa for 10 years. Now she testifies that she was petrified of mice. That when she would see a mouse, when she was sweeping the factory floor, she would jump and run away. But when she was saved, she said, I don't have to fear anything anymore. You know what she faced in Africa? She said it was a lot more than a mouse. She said, there'd be nights I was sleeping, and all I would hear at the door was scratching. And she said, it was a lion outside my door looking for a fast meal. And I would just tell that lion, go away. I'm on God's business. I have God's business to attend to. She said at night God would call her to go to remote places in Africa. And the only way to get to these remote places was to cross rivers. And the only way to cross those rivers was a log that was laid out across it. No light, nothing. And she said, I would walk across those logs and I would see the hippos and the crocodile's mouths just open. Now, hippos themselves don't eat humans, but they kill a lot of them. And she said, I had no fear because I had prayed on it. I trusted God and He told me to go. I don't know if I have that faith, but I want it. And I know the only way to get it is to continue to go to God in prayer and fasting. I have to separate the world from me.
Amen.
We have to separate the world from us. As Mark was testifying, there's a lot of things that we feel responsible for. There's a lot of things we want to hold on to. And responsibility is a good thing. But at the end of the day, as Christians, we truly have to lay down all responsibility and trust God that He can take care of all things.
Amen.
That, Lord, You're calling me to go away for a month, but I have a family. How can You call me to go away for a month? I need to work. I need to provide for that. And God says, no, you need to go. And I'm going to take care of the rest. Other times God tells us to stay home and take care of our family because that's the greatest ministry for us. But the only way we know what our ministry is going to be is if we truly pray and fast on it. And the only way we're going to know our calling is if we truly pray and fast on it. Leonard Ravenhill met a lady, that had met Charles Spurgeon and sat in his church. And he said, you know what was the most powerful thing about Charles Spurgeon? It wasn't the words that he spoke from that pulpit. The lady told him that the service would start, no sign of Charles Spurgeon. It would come time for the sermon, no sign of Charles Spurgeon. Where was Charles? Shouldn't he be at the front of the church? Shouldn't he be leading all things? Nowhere to be found. She said the deacons then would leave. And they would come back carrying Charles. Put him up at the pulpit. And tell him it's time to preach. You know where Charles was? In his office. Praying. No idea what time it was. No idea. Because all he was focused on was God. So burdened for the people that God was calling him to preach to, he couldn't even walk himself to the pulpit. They had to carry him there. He was busy laying down his unbelief so that the Holy Spirit could go forth at that pulpit and minister to those people. Because if a person gets into the pulpit and begins preaching with unbelief in their heart, they're restricting the Holy Ghost from working.
Amen.
The one thing that God laid on my heart this morning, and I was telling Sass as we were driving here, is I really felt like God was asking me to step back and allow the Holy Ghost to take off those boxing gloves and deliver piercing jabs to each and every one of us today. But I had to step back to do it. I was so busy thinking on what am I going to say here? Or what am I going to say here? What scripture verse should I point to? Do I know it enough? Do I know what I have to say enough? Can't You give me more time, Lord? Can't You give me more time just to prepare? These are precious people's lives that I'm being asked to speak on Your behalf to. Lord, can't You just give me more time to prepare? And He said, you've got to step back and let me do the work. I don't know what each and every one of you here today needs to hear. I'm never going to know what each and every one of you here today needs to hear. But God knows what each and every one of you needs to hear today. I love how what speaks to one person, to that which speaks to another, can be entirely different.
Amen.
My dad has testified over and over again that he's preached sermons and people would come up to him and say things to him that he never even preached on. They'd say, "What a wonderful sermon. I'm so thankful you preached on the will of God." I did? What verse did I read that? I don't remember. What? I didn't preach on the will of God. How God works is a powerful thing. The only way for me to prepare for today was something that Pastor Harper has been encouraging me to do for the last while. Pray and fast. Get rid of all the unbelief that was influencing me. And go forth. Because I'm like Peter. I'm like Peter, and I say, "Lord, I am ready to go with thee, both into prison and to death." But surely, I've been relying too much upon myself. Because my faith on that scale doesn't outweigh the mountain. But I know somebody that can help me get there. And it's Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Jesus never gave up on the disciples. Jesus never gave up on the disciples. No matter how many times they didn't understand. No matter how many times that they didn't grasp what he was saying. Or they couldn't fathom what he was saying. Or the impossibility of what he was saying. No matter how many times Christ asked them to do the unthinkable, no matter how many times they saw the power of God work, and then a minute later reverted back to holding on to the things of this world and the fear that comes with the things of this world. You know what have I been doing? There's holes in my boat and it's been sinking. And there's an anchor that's dragging that boat down. And the anchor is the world. And instead of mending the holes in prayer and in fasting, and instead of cutting the anchor loose, which God calls me to do, you know what I've been doing? Trying to sift the water out. And all I've been doing is taking a bale and trying to get the water out as fast as I possibly could while I'm sinking. And you know what God's asking me to do? God's saying, "Stop it. Cut the anchor loose. I will pass the holes and you will float on me." But instead, all I've been trying to do is float on my own strength, because I've been refusing to go to God and ask him to cure my unbelief. I have been refusing to go to God and ask him to help me believe the truth that's in his word. I can stand in front of a mountain and ask it to move if God calls me to do it. I can stand in front of the Red Sea and ask it to part if God calls me to do it. An army that is more powerful than me can be conquered if God chooses to conquer that army. If I pray and fast, and if I truly believe it, God can use me in a powerful, powerful way. But I have to be willing to pray and fast. If you haven't been praying, if you haven't been fasting, and you've been struggling with unbelief, I've been there, and I have lived that day. And you know what the enemy tells us? Don't go to God. Why would you go to God? You don't believe in what he's saying, and you're going to go to him and ask him for something? That's ludicrous. Why would you ever go to God? If you don't believe. You can't believe. You don't understand. You just can't believe in God. That's what the enemy says to me. And you know what I say to the enemy a lot of times? You're right. How can I go to God? Because if I go to God, he's going to convict me on this. If I go to God, he's going to convict me on that. If I go to God, he's going to ask me to change this. If I go to God, he's going to ask me to change that. But those things are good. And we need to go to God in prayer and fasting. I want to go to God in prayer and fasting. I want to spend time with him there. And I truly want God to change me for the better. There's so many more things to be said on prayer. I think I want to go to this verse. It's in 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. This is God's will for the church. And it's in verse 3. It says, "We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because that your faith groweth exceedingly, and the charity of every one of you all toward each other aboundeth." God wants us to be in prayer for each other, that we can abound in His Word. God wants us to be in prayer for each other, that someone doesn't get left behind. I want to seek God on each and everyone's behalf, as Paul prayed for the churches. I want to always pray for my brethren that their faith may grow exceedingly. Because when our faith grows, things begin to happen. There's a story of a man over in Russia. Actually, our fellow sister Yoda, she actually shared a story similar. That someone just came up to her because the joy that was on her face. And the joy that was on her face, the person wanted. There was a man walking in the streets of Russia, a pastor. And people kept coming up to him and saying, "I want what you have." He had never met them. They didn't know what he had, but they could see that there was something different. And you know what happens when faith grows? We aren't just one of the trees in the forest. God makes us grow exceedingly beyond that. I want my faith to be like the sequoias, which are the largest tree in the world. And I want each and every one of you here today to help me to get there by praying and fasting for me. And I stake this promise that I will pray and fast for each and every one of you, that you can join me there. That people start to see there's something different about that. And people start to want that which we have. I don't want to return back to the vomit of this world. God tells us that we are a new creature. I have to testify to you that there's a lot of times in my life that I look up and I see the fowls of the air swarming around me because the dead body that God rescued me from is right beside me and I'm clinging on to it. But God calls us to walk away from that which is not holy, which is my old self, and to go follow Him, where the fowls aren't swarming above me. Because the dead meat's back there, and there's only new meat this way. Christians, myself included, need to spend more time in prayer and fasting. Because when we truly pray for God to change us, to help our unbelief, God truly will change us and help our unbelief. And the only way for us to know what we don't believe is to ask God. And then God says, "You need to believe me on this promise. Or you need to believe me on that promise." There's days that I'm fearful of all the things that I have to go ahead to just to get into the Turks and Caicos. To preach there where God's calling me to go to preach. There's days that I'm fearful because I'm white. And most of the people there are a different color than me. How are they going to listen to me, I ask God. They're going to assume I don't understand them. I wasn't born on their island. I don't feel the hardships they feel. But God just continued to tell me that He calls unlikely people into unlikely circumstances that He may be glorified.
Amen. That's right, brother.
And the glory that I can give Him is by thanking Him in prayer and fasting and trusting that He's going to be able to clear those hurdles. Because if God can part the Red Sea and drown the Egyptian army, He can certainly get me paperwork to get into a country. And He certainly can have people's lives changed simply because I read from His Word. Daniel never sought the things that God did in his life. Daniel just purposed in his heart that he wasn't going to defile himself before God. And then all of the other things started to happen. Daniel just continued to lay down his unbelief, and all the other things started to happen. I read Daniel's story and I think to myself, Lord, if I could just see one of those miracles that Daniel saw, how different my life would be. But I'm relying upon the miracle to happen first to build my faith, instead of allowing God to build my faith, and then the miracles begin to happen.
That's good, brother. Amen.
And I need to just lay down all my unbelief at the foot of the cross and allow God to truly go forth and work in my life. And if you're like me, weighted down by unbelief, weighted down by unanswered prayer, what we deem to be unanswered prayer, I encourage you to keep persevering in prayer and keep fasting and seeking God, because God certainly will answer. He tells us He will in His Word. Do not rely upon past experience. Do not rely upon past things that God has had you do. Continue to seek Him, because you continually need to grow. Otherwise, we will be like His disciples, coming to Him and saying, why could I not cast out this devil? And Christ simply said to them the one thing they probably did not want to hear. It's because of your unbelief. Let each one of our goals, as we read His Word, pray, fast, be to garner just the faith the size of a grain of a mustard seed that can move mountains. Then we will see lion's mouths closed. Then we will see an ass that talks, as Balaam saw. Then we will see the heavens opened, the armies of angels around us, as Elisha. Then we will see, as Elijah, the fire of heaven come down. Simply because we have removed unbelief, because we've taken it to the Lord in prayer. In Psalm 61, starting at verse 1, it says, hear my cry, O God, attend unto my prayer. From the end of the earth will I cry unto Thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For Thou hast been a shelter for me and a strong tower from the enemy. I will abide in Thy tabernacle forever. I will trust in the covert of Thy wings. Selah. Do we cry to God when we are overwhelmed? Do we seek His strength, His shelter, when we are overwhelmed? Or do we do also often what I do,
and run. I told Mark a long time ago that it's a miracle that I wasn't swallowed by a fish like Jonah, because I had been running from God for a very long time. I so often, in times of difficulty, instead of going to God, the tower of refuge, in prayer and in fasting, run. I feel like I can outrun my enemy, that I can defend myself better if I get away from the trouble that surrounds me. But God doesn't want us to run from the enemy. God doesn't want us to run away from the things that surround us, run away from the trial that He has placed us in. The reason why God placed us in a trial is that we might learn patience. The reason why God placed us in a trial is that our faith might grow, that we might be purged by the fire of God. God wants us in that tower of refuge. Do we have the strength to pray in times of trial? Do we have the strength to pray in times of joy? When we think things are going well for us, do we have the strength to pray? Because so often we only pray in the times of trial. And when we pray only in the times of trial, do you think God bends His ear? Yes, of course He bends His ear. But He wants us to pray consistently. He wants us to pray in the times of joy. He wants us to pray in the times of trial because we get to know who He is. And Satan keeps trying to sift us. Satan keeps telling us in the times of trial, run away from that tower. Run, because the siege is coming upon that tower. But I have to trust. We have to trust in the holy God who has built the walls of that tower, that nothing can get forth when we enter into that prayer closet, when we enter into that time of prayer. Unbelief can't go in there because God is there. Nothing can affect us when we are in that tower of refuge. God wants us to be firmly in that tower of refuge, firmly planted on Him, firmly in prayer. Nothing else impacting us, because we are firmly focused on the holy God. But so many of us run, unlike David, who just cried and said, "May I be in that tower. May I be in that tower that is a strong tower from the enemy." The enemy wants us on the firing line where he can attack us. But we need to be hitting Christ where the enemy can't find us. Prayer and fasting takes us there. Prayer and fasting is our tower, our shelter in times of trial. We have to trust in the covert of His wings. Do we have the faith today to ask God to help us to have that trust? Do we have the faith today to pray and fast and give up all those things that the world would have us hang on to and say, "No, no, no. I'm just going to take Jesus, because that's all I need." Christ is waiting for us at the cross to lay all things down, not trust in this world, and find the covert of His wings there. Are we willing to go? Are we willing to see the power that faith can have to move mountains? Father, I just thank You for the truth in Your word. And Lord, I pray and ask that You would help each and every one of us, Father, find You, Lord, our shelter, our tower from Thine enemy. Father, the world would have us do a lot of different things, but help us to just pray and fast and focus on Thee. For Father, that is the only thing that's going to make any difference. Lord, I pray that You would give us the strength today to truly confess our unbelief to You, that You can cure us, that we may move forward for You. To Your glory, Lord, we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Confirm what we spoke to you, heard about through His word.